podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
So, like, let's cut to the chase. Do we think we're quite likely to get relegated this season?
Yeah, it's a really strong possibility.
Well, hang on. Things have changed rapidly over the course of this podcast over the last 6 weeks. We went from doom and gloom, Cooper gone, beat Man U Newcastle, back on top, not getting relegated, points deduction potential. If there's no deduction, we should be staying up.
And if there is a deduction?
If there is a deduction, Forest will need a certain amount of points, which we'll go into when we do the pathway. Forest will need 42 or 43 points. If we have a deduction, we'll need about that because that'll get us 37-ish. It kept us up last season with 38 and I think the next club down was 34. Why shouldn't we be getting 4 more points than we got last season? We absolutely should be. With or without deduction, we should be. Now, the games are running out, but we absolutely should be getting 4 more points than we got last season. And even if we don't do that and we don't get the deduction, we still stay up. So I'm not writing us off just yet, okay? I'm not writing us off just yet. We've got Ben from Bermuda who's going to come back on at some stage soon. He was on one of the early episodes, absolutely brilliant. Had some great stories about being one of the only Forest fans out in Bermuda. We'll get him back on. We've got Henrik Johansson, who again, I tried to get on last week. He's a Danish Forest fan. We need to get him back in and we'll get him on for the first time. NFSC Munster branch, the Munster, an Irish branch. Big shout out to them for a Forest all over the world, massive Forest all over the world. Shout out to them. And then, of course, Albertus, who's in Alberta. I've mentioned him a few times. We want to get him on. There's our Forest all over the world section, Matt. We're going to roll into this pathway for survival with some deadline day action.
But luckily, this week, we've got the good old Will.
Dr. Will. It's Dr. Will.
Yeah, how you doing, Will?
I should clarify, not a medical doctor.
Yes, not a medical doctor.
Oh, okay. I never knew that.
All right. What did you think?
I thought he might have... Yeah, no, I maybe I did know that, but yeah. I just didn't listen as usual. Anyway, carry on with the intro, Matt. Come on.
Will always comes on to do what we've called a pathway to the playoffs and then pathway to survival. I feel this episode is going to be more like pathway, a perilous pathway to not play against Plymouth Argyle next year, I hope.
Pathway to survival part 2, essentially.
So we've got Will doing pathway. It's deadline day here at the moment. Sorry, what?
You're venting your anger at the January transfer window.
Well, it's not just venting my anger. I mean, there's some positives that came out of it, but I'm just going to talk about each deal. We're going to go through each deal, the ingoings, the incomings and the outgoings, maybe not all of them, but we're going to go through the key ones this evening. And yeah, that's it.
Well, Will, and people hear loads of Chris and I going on and on about different stuff all the time. But yeah, what's your overall measured response to this season so far?
It's not been great, has it? There's been some marquee performances, but I'd say on the regular, it's just been frustrating and slightly disappointing, but more frustrating than anything else. The amount of 3-2s just breaks your heart. It's been absolutely horrible for that. We should just be doing better and we're not. And that's second season syndrome, I reckon. Put it down to the fans aren't quite maybe as boisterous or as up for it as they were last season. It's not quite that same level of intensity, I don't think.
That is a very small percentage of the problem, though, because our fans are still the loudest fans in the city ground compared to most home games. We're still a great away support. The big problem in reality is what Will said first, very rightly, is we should be doing better. We're not doing better, right? That is what it boils down to. I got a ridiculous message from Matt the other day saying, I've realised what it is. I've realised why we're going to get relegated potentially. It's because of Luton. It's always about Luton with you, Matt. And the reality is, it's not just to do with Luton. It's to do with the real basic facts that we haven't been good enough this season. Matt, how many games have we won in the last home games? And it's not to do with the fans. How many games have we won in the last 6 home games? We've won 1 in 6 and the other 5 we've lost. That is for anyone, and we have to be better.
Agreed.
I just want to clarify, I'm not digging out our fans. I think our fans are amazing, home and away, particularly away, actually. Obviously, that's the hardcore element. But yeah, I just think maybe, you know, that we're just not as like backs against the wall up against it. We expect more, and maybe that's...
You're quite right. I go to quite a few games. You're right. The fans are brilliant, but there is there's just a deflated version of it. And I think it comes from the things like the overriding, like there's a huge amount of content constantly going around, including what we're doing right now. But we can't help but all be aware constantly of all the wraparound stuff, like the potential points deduction, like the goalkeeper situation, like Awoniyi's fragility, like the Worrell saga stuff, even as minor as that might be. But all of these little things together create a sort of slump and a bit of fatigue, I wonder.
But we spoke about all this.
I'm just qualifying what Will said.
We have spoke about the atmosphere since the beginning of the season, being having a little bit of a dip, there's a bit less jeopardy. But in reality, like, we have to break it down to what the team's doing and what they're not doing. And it's nothing to do with the fans.
Well, they're underachieving. Just to go specific, Will, what do you think of Danilo? Do you think that he is someone that is maybe we've had too high expectations for, because
no, I think he's done pretty well. He came back from injury, which always can take a little while for him to find his feet again, and I think he's been good. Obviously the heights that he reached at the end of last season were sort of, it'd be very hard for him to hit those heights as a young and sort of not consistent player. You know, when you're a young player, you struggle to just like keep those performances going. So he's always going to have some dips in form. But I think he's been perfectly good this season.
Is he someone you would like to see at Forest for a few more years?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'd love to see him, like, develop. I think he will, because I think at the moment he's that level of inconsistency, whereas his best is definitely good enough. And when he's having a bad game, it's not quite there. And he just needs to raise it a bit more. And then the offers will come in, and I'm sure they will. But he's got, a 5-year, 6-year contract for us or something like that. We bought him on. So, he's got plenty of time to do so.
Because I want to love him. I want him almost to be my favourite player.
Yeah, but I love the finger guns.
Yeah, his celebration is wonderful. He's cool. He's got the X factor. But things like that free kick the other day, I can't remember who it was against now. Do you remember the one that Gibbs White was supposed to take and he took it? And it was just like, I kicked it. Do you know what I mean? It was ridiculous. And it was...
What do you think about him getting on the corners, lads, in general? Like, I've seen him on the corners there recently. What are your thoughts in general about that?
I haven't seen enough of him, really.
But I've seen some of his corners there the other day. I was surprised by how good they were. I was actually genuinely like, every time his dead ball balls into the box, I was actually like, actually, some of these are right in danger, bang in danger, causing problems. I actually wasn't, initially, I wasn't enamoured by him taking the some of the corners, but then... Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised.
You know what I do like about that is that it frees up Morgan Gibbs-White to sit on the edge of the box. And, you know, the amount of balls that come back to him, he's got the technique where he can just... I reckon it's a good position for him to just, you know, just to step onto one and just lash it. A bit like he did against Liverpool. Yeah. So a bit like that, actually. So I think it frees him up a little bit better. And he's got pace he can get back as well. He needs to make a tackle. I think that's... in a way, quite good as a throw up, but
why you're here, Will, for the little extra caveats that I wouldn't have necessarily noticed, and Matt definitely wouldn't have noticed. Yeah, no, I agree. I just think it's good to see someone else take a set piece, and be surprisingly quite good at them. I mean, like you said, it's too early to tell, but yeah, I think it's good, and we're getting those players back from AFCON now, some of them, and that's gonna be a massive boost. Niakata, you love him, Will, don't you?
Yeah, I still maintain that he's our best defender. I think he's better than Murillo, personally. I know that might be an extreme view. I think Murillo's been absolutely amazing since he's come in, but I think Niakate is more than capable of being like a leader and a rock. And he was showing that, and he has shown that in a few of the games he's played. Murillo will probably surpass him eventually, but at the moment, as it stands, I think Niakate is the better defender.
So, incomings, Reyna, Dortmund loan, no option as far as I know. I don't think there's an option to buy in that. I thought we tried it, but, you know, if there is an option to buy someone, correct me. But Reyna is on loan, definitely to the end of the season. What are your thoughts on that, Will?
I've probably got two things on the Reyna deal. One, I'm actually, weirdly enough, quite happy that there's no option to buy, because that tells me that Dortmund see a future at Dortmund for him and that he's good enough to play at Dortmund. So them not offering us an option suggests that they've still got faith that he is a class player. So that almost makes it feel like he is going to be really good, or he's got a good chance of being better. Whereas if they were just trying to bin him off, I'd be a bit worried. And secondly, he's a little bit like Callum Hudson-Odoi, isn't he? He struggled with injury, had such a high ceiling, still does, I suppose, but you know, he's just fallen off a little bit. So in a way, he's just like Callum Hudson-Odoi, but on the other wing. He plays on the right, doesn't he?
Well, Hudson-Odoi can play either, but Reina, I think, can play anywhere across the top middle three. So if we're playing 4-2-3-1, he'll play anywhere across that middle three, and have a bit of depth there is absolutely, you know, paramount, especially with Hudson-Odoi or Alanga. If they get injured, then we don't really have much depth there. So to have someone to fill in and rotate in and out is very good. A lot of the Dortmund fans love him. They think he's very, very good and very talented. He has got a bit of an injury in him, though, apparently. Matt, do you have anything to say about him or move on?
I hope he becomes as popular as the likes of Eric Lehigh. Because I remember we've had like Robbie Findlay, Evan Hawthorpe, Matt Turner, Eric Lehigh, and now this guy. And I hope he's in the Eric Lehigh camp in terms of, because of how freaking cool he is and good and committed. But yeah.
The only successful American Lehigh for us.
Yeah.
So far. Ribeiro from Sporting, loan with an option to buy, I believe. Young guy, striker.
Yeah, don't know anything about him, to be honest with you. Are we getting rid of Origi out of interest? Do you know?
I think everyone's desperate for him to go.
I guess we've got the 18-year-old, so that he, you know, he doesn't count as one of the 25 men in the squad. But I don't think he's going to really be playing that much.
I, to be fair, I do think the one positive from this is there is some long-term thinking, because we haven't really had much long-term thinking in quite a few of the windows. There's been a couple, like you said, with Murillo, etc. But I think this is, it's good to see, okay, there's a little bit of long-term thinking with this, because we're also linked, and we'll roll on to this, to Akbom, who's at Ajax, and he was at Middlesbrough, scored quite a lot of championship goals. Will?
I don't know why we want someone who was a middling striker at Middlesbrough for 3 years.
Right. He was a bit more than middling. He was a bit above
didn't
middling,
he have,
wasn't
like,
he?
An amazing season either last year.
He did. He scored loads of goals, didn't he?
It might have been the season before, but I remember other Premier League sides being in for him, but I'll stand corrected. I might be remembering that wrong.
I think Matt's remembering it right.
Fair. I think he was like a 1-in-3 striker, which is pretty good, to be fair, but in the championship, and he's a bit older now. Do we really want him? Is he going to improve us? Probably not.
Do you know what? I wouldn't be too disheartened by this if the fee wasn't rising all the time. Ajax are constantly looking for 15, 20 million, and then all of a sudden you're spending the Mangala money, which we'll get to. But Chris Wood's on good form. Taiwo's just come back. We now have that kid, Ribeiro, come in. Do we need another striker if we're playing 4-2-3-1?
That's a good point.
No.
Yeah.
Probably not. I think we roll the dice and we say, no, let's not get some average player. I mean, he's played for us before. How many goals did he score for us in those seven?
I don't know. But I mean, to be fair, it was almost 10 years ago.
Who? Akpom?
Yeah.
He's played for us before.
Yeah, he was on loan to us. He was on loan to us. Like, God, I wouldn't remember, to be honest. Yeah, I missed it too.
Because he was rubbish.
Right, okay, let's move on swiftly. Wow. Too. We've got the goalkeeper, Mats Selz, coming in for 5 million sterling, about 6 million euros, on a 3.5-year contract.
I mean, it's getting comical.
Firstly, I watched his YouTube compilation of his crazy saves as it's out there, apparently. And a lot of them were just palming it back into dangerous positions and or making an initial save of his legs and it just spooning up and them scoring anyway. He looks like a big unit. He doesn't look particularly agile. I just don't see him as a good goalkeeper. He doesn't pass the eye test for me. And then I thought I'd do a bit of digging and like have a look at some like save percentages. And so I compared to say Samba, because they both say played in Ligue 1 for the last two or three years. It's just, there's no one here. So like at this season, Mats Selz, his percentile for save percentage, is the fifth percentile. That means that, you know, 95% of goalkeepers are better than him in that league.
Oh God. And then give me Sambas. Go on.
This season is his percentile is 53. So he's just slightly above average. But his percentile, Sambas, last year, it was 99%. So he's basically the best goalkeeper in the league of save percentage. Whereas last year, I'll give you the last three seasons of Matt Seltz's percentile ranking. 5th, 32nd, 45. So he's never got above 50%. So he's a worse than average goalkeeper in Ligue 1. I don't know how that's going to improve us.
From top to bottom of all the goalkeepers you've read out, give me the list of who's better, in your opinion, based on the stats alone of these, from top to bottom. Not including the mistakes. We know that Turner's made loads of mistakes and he will continue to do so.
So I've got Celts, Samba, Turner, Vlaka, Demos. Samba's top by a considerable distance. And then it's probably Vlaka, Demos second, having a bit of a mare this season, but previous two seasons, decent. And then it's probably a tie between Matt Celts and Turner, I'd say.
Like I said.
So Vlaka, Demos back in goals?
So Vlaka, Demos, get him in. Like, he just needs to find his form of the last two seasons and he'll be fine. He has got a really poor save ratio this season. Going back to whether Matt Celts is a good signing or not, I don't think he's going to be very good. And I don't think he's better than what... Depressingly, he's not better than what we've already got.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's it. I'll wrap that up and we'll move on to the pathway. So this is... Cue some music. This is the pathway to survival, part two. Oh, don't ruin my moment.
What are your thoughts, Will? What do you think we need in order to stay up?
There's some caveats with this, obviously, because of the whole FFP situation. So my thoughts on this, and this is how we're going to apply it going forward, because we cannot know for sure, so this is what we're going to say, is that, you know, there's no way that the Prem risk being too heavy-handed with us and our appeal ends up succeeding after the last game of the season. They won't want that, and it's an awful look for them. But at the same time, they want to be seen as the big swinging, and they want to punish us as much as they think they can get away with. Probably not as much as Everton, but they want to like lay down the law to us. So on that, I see it being 6 points. I reckon that's as much as they can give out to us without it feeling too heavy-handed. So we're just going to go on a 6-point appeal. That's what we're going to say.
So that's the caveat.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to say, is we're going to get docked 6 points and we're going to approach it from there. We need 38 points we got last season. Chris said earlier, it's probably going to be about that this season. So in effect, we need 44 points. That's how we're looking at it.
And we're currently sitting on
20.
20 points.
Wow. So we've got to have a better second half. To start, just broadly speaking, we've got to have a far better... Well, we've got to have one win and one draw more in the second half of the season than we did in the first half.
Yeah, but we've only got 16 games to do that.
Yeah, and we just lost two games, Matt, by the way. So that's it. We've lost back-to-back games, and that is now included in that. We're past the second half of the season. We're already into the second half of the season.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tall ask, if I'm being honest, when I've looked at it. And I've sort of... I've gone through it and thought, well, we can get a point here, get 3 points there. And I've got my prediction, but we'll go through it game by game, I guess, with Matt and Chris, and see what they think for each game.
Yeah.
And then we'll toss it up at the end. And I'll tell you if you think, therefore, based on the fixtures, that we're going to survive or not.
Okay. Another quick caveat. Sorry, I don't want to take over anything here. I just want another quick caveat is...
It doesn't sound like you don't.
Shut up. Everton... might get another deduction.
Great. Let's let Will carry on, Chris, because you're disrupting...
Sorry, what did you say, Matt?
You're disrupting the flow, mate.
Okay, all right. Well, sorry, Will, I apologise for disrupting the flow.
Yeah, so next game up is Bournemouth. I guess we're going to talk about that a bit afterwards as well, but what do you guys think we're going to do at Bournemouth?
I do think we're going to win that game.
Chris?
I think we'll draw 1-1. Bad going if we lose 3 in a row. That's why I think we'll draw. But draws aren't enough for us right now. But anyway, Will, let's carry on through the games and do it a bit quicker, I suppose.
We've got the Toon at home.
Matt?
I think we lose that.
God. Yeah, Chris?
I think we lose that as well. I think Newcastle will be back on form.
West Ham at home.
Draw.
Win. We'll beat West Ham.
Yeah, I had a draw as well, Matt. I think they'll probably just nick Bowen or nick something.
No, they're distracted. They're distracted with Europe. We'll beat them.
Yeah, maybe. Villa, away.
I think they're the team we do the double over this year. I think it'll be our best result of the season, Villa away.
Love it.
I'm going with a draw.
So Liverpool at home first.
I think we lose because the bloomin' Klopp still lying in state, it will appear.
Yeah, that's fair. Chris, we beat him last season. What are you saying?
I think we go to Anfield and we panic them and we beat them.
It's at the City Ground.
I think, or we're at home, even better.
Do your homework.
We beat them. We beat them at home. They don't like the City Ground. We beat them at home. Definitely.
Is the
Brighton away.
Lose. No, I'm going to say draw. I think we can get a draw there.
Well, they've just lost 4-0 to fucking Luton.
Yeah, but that's exactly.
Yeah, that but happening. They beat us at home when they had no players. We're different. It'll be a different time. Matt, you say draw.
I say
draw as well. I'm with Matt on that. I think we can get a draw there.
Fair dues. Luton up next.
I'm saying win because I'm terrified we don't win, and I want to go and I want to sink their hearts. I want to go and I want to win, and I want them to be relegated by us on that day, that early.
I don't think that's gonna happen, but
it's not gonna happen.
Want that, but that's not gonna happen.
You're right, okay. Let me be real. I'll be less emotional. I just can't.
Just hurry up.
I think we'll lose. I think we'll lose to Luton away.
What? You've just gone from win to lose in a heartbeat.
Because that's how angry I am. But I'm telling you, we're gonna lose that game. We are losing that game.
You're a clown. Okay, so you think we're gonna lose to Luton, not win. You've just switched. You flip flop like the wind. I think we will take a draw for that game, and I think it'll benefit Luton more than us because of our deduction.
Yeah, I've also got a draw for that game. I think we're gonna get an equaliser last few minutes, and it'll put them down and buoy us up, even though the result's not great for us. All right, Palace.
I say we beat Palace.
Yeah. Yeah, I have us down to beat Palace as well.
As do I. Wow, that's the most confident fixture we've got so far. Fulham at home.
We should win that game.
Yeah.
It's a home game against a side that aren't doing particularly great in the league. I don't give a shit about the 5-0. It doesn't mean anything to me whether we win, lose, draw the other games. We beat Fulham at home. We should beat Fulham at home. Beat them at home.
Sound advice. We should beat them. We will beat them.
Spurs away.
Lose.
What a surprise! The man who loves Tottenham so much. The man who loves Tottenham, who goes on about Tottenham all the time. What a surprise, ladies and gentlemen. He thinks we're going to lose. Well done, Matt. I think we lose as well.
And then next, we find out about our FFP result after the Spurs game. We've got Wolves at home after that.
I think we'll beat.
I actually think we'll beat Wolves at home, regardless of whether we have a deduction or not. I think we'll beat them.
Yeah. I think Gary O'Neill's had his purple patch, and I think they'll start to struggle latter stage of the season, in my humble opinion.
Everton away?
God, that's going to be like a blooming cup final, isn't it? I'm going to head for a Forest win.
I'm going to go for a draw.
City at home.
We lose.
Yeah, City, a definite loss. I think City could win every other game except for Liverpool away for the rest of the season. That's how good they are.
I think the timing wise, end of April is sort of.
But they could have wrapped the league up by then.
Maybe. So you never know. But I've got us down for a lose because you can't really back anyone to beat the best team in the world, can you? So Sheffield United away.
Lose.
Oof. Fuck off, Matt. Like, seriously.
Having just beaten Everton, we'll then lose.
You and your absolute bullshite. No, they're done. Get rid of them. They're out. They'll be gone by then. And we'll drive the knife home and wave goodbye to Brereton Diaz and the rest of the lads. And Joe Warrow will stand on the sideline saying, thank God I didn't fucking join these. We'll beat them.
They'll be gone and we'll lose to them.
Yeah, good for you, Matt.
I'm not pleased. I'm right, not
last
pleased.
Home, last home game of the season, Chelsea at home.
Draw.
I think draw. I'll go with draw.
I think they'll have nothing to play for, and it's going to be our home last home game. It's going to be big. I think the atmosphere, like against Arsenal last year, the atmosphere is going to carry us through, and we're just going to...
Actually, Will, can I amend mine? I want to give Forrest 3 points. I think you've swayed me.
Oh, you've convinced him, Will. Oh,
it's because I'm banking in a...
Backtracking
I'm
through
I'm
the
I'm banking
mud,
in a way
slipping
day
and sliding like a tug of war towards the end line.
No, give me 3 points for Forrest on Chelsea day.
Done. Okay,
you got
and then
draw?
Final game is Burnley. Away.
I was going to say win, but I'm going to say it's a nil all or a one all draw.
Yeah, I think we draw that. 2-2.
Okay, yep. So the tally is added to the 20 points we've already got. Matt is the most pessimistic.
What a surprise, ladies and gentlemen. The man who's been calling himself optimistic has slipped.
I haven't ever called myself
like Houdini.
That. I've got, like, I'm not, Chris, I don't want to, let's not distract.
Snake in the grass.
Don't go off piste, but I'm going to fight my corner on that after this. Because I've never called myself optimistic. You're hung up on this weird...
You called me the pessimist and you the optimist.
Stay on peace.
You said it millions
Stay
of times.
On peace. Let's hear the numbers.
Yeah, I should clarify that both me and Matt had the same, so we're both equally pessimistic. There's not much in it. Matt and myself have predicted us to get 43 points.
Is that after the six-point deduction?
Yes, so...
No, before. It's before the six-point deduction.
So it's with the six-point... We'll get 43 points and then we'll get deducted 6 points.
So we're saying 37 then, me and you.
And Chris, you've got 44.
We survived, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming to the show and welcome aboard. Well, on that, we'll leave it on that and we'll move off and we'll do a really quick Bournemouth preview and then we'll get out of here.
So what we got, just to clarify, Chris thinks we're getting 38 and... after deduction, me and Will think we're getting 37 after deduction, yeah. And that is potentially relegation form. Goodness me, God!
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it? Oh,
God, and that was some pretty ambitious wins and stuff thrown.
Well,
we might
still stay up on 37. The teams last year would have.
Going back to what we were saying before, we do have to guard ourselves and be careful because we are in the mire here, and we do need to.
Will, what are your thoughts on this Bournemouth game this weekend?
I really don't know how to feel about it.
Well, what have we all called? What have we all called in our predictions?
Matt, you called a win. I called a draw. And Will, you called a...
Yeah, I think there are going to be goals. And I think maybe 1-1, maybe 2-1, I don't know. But yeah, I think both defences aren't great. But we're both pretty good going forward. I think Alanga will be back. Taiwo will be a big menace. It's going to be interesting.
The reality is we have to start showing up defensively. We've let an awful lot of mistakes affect all of our games. You just have to look at... you just have to go, even from the start of Nuno's tenure, Bournemouth, the first game he played against them, 3 goals. Turner could have done better with 1. We've made some defensive mistakes in that game. Newcastle, penalty we gave away, sloppy. Man United, Turner mistake. Brentford... terrible set piece defending and a Tony free kick which should have been at least dived for, and then obviously recently the mistake through the legs against Arsenal. So we have to get better defensively. If we do that, we'll start picking up points. Simple as that, because we're scoring goals under Nuno. So
we've got 2 extra days to prepare for this as well, because obviously they'll have finished tonight, which is they're playing Thursday Sunday, which isn't great for them. So yeah, they might get a bit leggy. So that might play into our hands with our pace.
Forest have got to be way more aggressive than they're being. And I think it's going back to how they played against Newcastle that day, and they need to approach it like that. And I really think we can nick a win. I cannot stand them. Ever since that Championship weekend when they changed the fixture because of a broken bin or whatever, when we were in form and they had loads of injuries, then they signed loads of players because they had parachute payments and no one in the media called them out for it. They only call it out when it's Forest buying loads of players in the Premier League. And then when they did play us, they had that annoying key for more free kick. And it was, you know what I mean? I've just not been able to stomach them ever since. I hate them. Fuck, it's so bleak. Can you imagine being in the Forest goalkeeping team this week? You'd just be.
Can you imagine being Matt Turner right now? Like, right. How low would you feel?
Listen,
can you imagine being any of the keepers? Can you imagine being Hennessy?
He's probably loving it. He's probably like, I am completely sheltered from any of the blame.
We just sat in the pub with Arthur drinking pints. This is mint.
I reckon Rainer's coming off the bench.
Off the bench. Alanga's getting a game with Taiwo.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see Alanga.
Taiwo starts. Taiwo was an absolute menace to society.
I want to see the front four of Taiwo, Alanga, Cho and Morgan Gibbs-White. Problem is, it's never been the forward line that's been our issue this season. It's been the back four. So
back five, if you include the goalkeeper.
Back one, really. But yeah, we need...
Who've we got back from... Have we got Niakate back for it?
Yes. So he just finished AFCON.
Yeah, so we have him play with...
Do you want us to just do the lineup, Matt?
Yeah.
Like, we'll just do the lineup for you, okay? Yeah. So that's fine. Goalkeeper, Sells and goals. In defence, Niakate and Murillo.
I don't think Niakate's going to play. I think it's too early for him to come back and play.
But I think he's already been playing, though. So I don't know what the issue is. He played on Monday, got knocked out. He's got a whole 6 days as a professional footballer. I know he went into, I think they went into extra time, did they? And penalties. So, yeah, okay, I get that. But as a professional footballer, if you can't come back after 6 days, Bournemouth just played tonight and it's Thursday. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think he has to play. Omobamadeli's been good, but I think he has to play. You stick Sells in goals, you give him his chance. If he blows it, we'll just play the round robin with the three goalkeepers, Vakademos, Turner, and Sells until one of them turns good. Okay? Left back, we've got Mikanavena, because he's probably going all the way to the final. So we've got Toffolo again. Right back, Montiel. For main patches of the season, he's been largely good. There's been moments where he's been poor.
He's overrated.
Bad mistake against Arsenal.
That penalty.
Yeah, well, whatever. He's our right back.
He's overrated.
Yeah, well, he's our right back, Matt. Yeah. He's our right back, right? So, and then in the midfield, you've got two. You've got Yates and no more Mangala. So
you've got Danilo and Yates, no Sangare.
Yeah, and then the front three, you've got Morgan Gibbs-White in the pocket. You've got Callum Hudson-Odoi, Elanga, and then you've got Taiwo causing absolute disruption with the Bournemouth defence, just bodying them left, right and centre and absolutely terminating them.
That feels like a really young side, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fine.
Especially if we play on Mbamadeli instead of Niakate. You've got two 21-year-olds centre-back. We've got
brand new
Yates
keeper.
Is
brand
25. New yeah, Danilo's 21. And then our three across the attacking line are like 20, 21. I think Morgan Gibbs-White's 23 maybe. And then Tyro's, what, 26, 25? It feels quite a young side.
Yeah, it does. But you know what? Listen, that's it. We play the youth, take the pressure on their shoulders or off their shoulders, whatever. They might not even be thinking about it that way. Let's just go with it. Screw it. Let's just roll with it.
Okay, Will, thanks. Sorry to cut that up short, mate. It's been a real treat having you on. It's for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah.
Thanks for coming on. The pathway was brilliant. The deadline stuff, my stuff was pretty weak, but whatever, it was there. And overall, it looks like there's a pathway for us to have a chance to survive, no matter whose prediction it
is. But
the
takeaway from this episode is that even if we're to survive, it's actually it's going to be a big ask, and that's daunting.
Yeah, but you know what? It was daunting last season, and we did it, so we can do it again.
I think it's more daunting. All right. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, if we don't get a deduction, it shouldn't be daunting. And, you know, it's daunting now because we've lost the last two games.
Okay, well, listen, thanks so much, everyone. Thanks, Will.
Cheers, and lads.
Chris, see you next time.
Follow us at Forest All Over on Instagram or at NFFC All Over on Twitter. Alternatively, you can go to forestallover.com. We are the Forest All Over the World podcast. We'll be back with the Forest All Over the World phone show soon. Thanks, Will. Thanks, Matt. Even though you're on most of the time, Matt, not all the time because you're pathetic. Take care.
Podcast Network.